So here's a super quick intro to this episode. It's kind of a weird one. This is Evan Matthews, by the way. This was an episode that I was actually compiled from a few moments during the final season of Game of Thrones. So this is spoilers. You get a spoiler. You get a spoiler. You get a spoiler. Everyone gets a spoiler. And then a bunch more spoilers on top of those spoilers. But this is kind of impromptu moments through the final season and through the finale of Game of Thrones. So we've got a couple of times where we're about to watch an episode and then reacting after an episode. We've got a deeper dive into the actual final episode, our kind of initial feelings right afterwards. We've got a little note from me at the very end with a theory on how I think they could have actually solved some of are and other people's objections, as far as pacing and a couple of the kind of hard turns that characters took. So that's at the very end. If you want to hear that bit, listen to the end. But I just want to give a quick moment and say that, you know, now on even further reflection, we're a few months away now from the end of Game of Thrones. I think everything we talk about in here still feels generally true to me. With only a little bit more frustration that there wasn't a little more time given to kind of get where the show ultimately got. So those feelings, unfortunately, have kind of intensified while the rest of everything that's in here has stayed pretty consistent. So with that, here's us rambling, talking, laughing, enjoying, crying through, being frustrated by, and all the other emotions, all the feels, in the final season of Game of Thrones. Bum bum ba ba bum bum ba ba bum bum ba ba bum bum ba ba bum. Okay, so we're recording, Adam.
Yes. Hi, Evan. How are you?
So this might be a little impromptu part of a podcast. We might put this together into something. So we're about to watch the next episode of Game of Thrones. This is episode four in the final season. So a couple of thoughts I've had going into episode four. What necessitated this is we were just saying, like, what do you think is going to happen in this episode prior to watching it? Adam said he doesn't think there's going to be any major deaths. I think he's probably right, although I've been thinking actually kind of unwarranted amount about the last episode, the Battle of Winterfell. And I think what I've been thinking about is it's kind of a weird episode, and I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing how they're going to pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, spoiler alert, so Arya kills the Night King.
Yes.
There are two kind of major things which are kind of storytelling no-nos, which they did in that episode. So one is, you know, we've really been setting up the battle with the Night King and the White Walkers from the cold open of episode one,
mm-hmm.
right? Uh-huh. So we've established, like, from the very first moment of the show that this conflict was the conflict of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've taken that away. So we're halfway through the final season, and the thing that we've been led to believe is the ultimate conflict of the series
has been resolved,
which is weird.
Right.
Like, that's not what you would typically do. So, you know, that means a couple of different things. Either there's some bigger conflict that we haven't seen or haven't understood yet,
mm-hmm.
or we're saying that the conflict with Cersei for the throne is actually the larger conflict, but that feels weird in the context of all
but
of
it
that.
Clearly is, I mean...
Well, that's what they're now leading us to believe, but that feels... But from traditional kind of story structure standpoint,
yes. Yes.
That's not what you would do. So right. There must be a reason for that. We would hope. and then the second thing is, like, I loved Arya killing the Night King. I think, like, actually there's a lot that's been set up to have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Totally unexpected. But it has left us with, again, sort of really a lot of work being done over many seasons to create the Night King versus Jon. And then to kind of take that away.
Yes.
From us. So,
well, it may be a tool to give Jon more to actually exacerbate the conflict between him and Daenerys.
It could be.
Where he wants to prove that he can do this.
Yes. It could be. So I think, to me, those are the two things I've been thinking about this past week is, like, you know, just, you know, kind of, again, I hope they're going in some spectacularly unseen direction that will all kind of connect and make sense. And I expect they are, because so far they've done an amazing job making the show. But those two things are just kind of not what you would expect.
Yes.
So given that they're not what we would expect, like, what's the actual endgame that's being, you know, headed towards here?
Right.
And certainly the game, the challenge for who sits the throne is an important one, but it is striking that that's not the central conflict that's been set up from literally the first moment of the season, of the series.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are some initial thoughts going into this episode. Maybe we'll have a little recap after we watch it. Okay, very good. Pause, going into episode 4. Okay, so just having watched episode 4. So lots of good stuff, but and a couple of major issues. Yes. So I've seen online.
Did not see Missandei getting killed.
Did not see that.
That was nice. No,
that was unexpected and
definitely painful.
Definitely makes it, painful as the audience, and also makes it extremely personal for Grey Worm and the Unsullied now.
So does Grey Worm get a chance to kill
the Mountain?
The Mountain, or is that going
to
be the Hound?
I mean, I think it has to be the Hound, right? Like, we've spent all this time. Like, what will make you happy? There's only one thing that'll make me happy. He's talking about killing the Mountain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And loved. All right. Again, spoilers. Yeah. Loved Arya and on the road again.
Yes,
like there was something again. Wonderful.
There's something
that.
Wonderful about that.
It's
like,
kind of great.
Really, the Hound has emerged as one of the best parts of the series. In a great way, and even like the banter between him and Sansa, you know, really plays nicely into their characters. And him saying, like, you know, none of the bad things that have happened to you would have happened if you had come with me. Right. They're saying, but if none of those bad things had happened, I wouldn't be me, and wouldn't have the strength that I have, which is kind of great. I also love Arya, true to her character very much. So, you know, kind of having the opportunity to be who people think she should be, but choosing to be who she is, kind of through and through.
That was very touching. I thought the Gendry proposal, that whole scene was great.
Yes,
I thought Daenerys giving Gendry lordship, which was great as a just reward for having done all this stuff. Gendry proposing and then her turning him down. And that was beautiful.
Yes, very well done. And then
the early stuff, actually. And then the scene between Jamie and Tyrion and Brienne.
Yes, fantastic. And then Jamie and Brienne hooking up, fantastic. Yep. Like, all of that was great.
All of that.
I think all of it was great with this one, to me, like, really one gaping hole in here.
Just
so
why the hell didn't you fly around the island and burn the ships
from the
back?
So you've got the dragons, you know, flying, and then one of them gets shot down by these crossbows that they've built.
Which is
great.
That was fantastic.
That was fantastic. And I will say, I wonder whether they're going to pay this off. Because, you know, we know now that dragon was specifically Jon's dragon.
Yes.
And so as it looks more and more like we're headed towards a Jon versus Daenerys kind of ending here, you know, is there some ramification to Dracarys being alive and...
To Drogon.
Drogon. Yeah, right. And then that dragon being gone. So
yep.
That's an interesting kind of wrinkle there, as well as showing, like, oh, these guys have the ability to take out these dragons in a way that they haven't up until this point. But glaring plot hole is, you know, they kill the dragon, then they fire all the weapons at Drogo, they miss, and you get this kind of, like, I'm gonna kill you all look,
moment.
You know, moment,
and
which then just doesn't pay off
and
at all.
And then they use the crossbows to decimate the fleet.
Right.
And somehow capture...
We don't really see how that happens either. So it's
and
like,
they clearly are not these crossbows on the backs of the boats.
But, like, once they fired, we've seen the damage that one dragon can do.
Yes.
Like, Drogo could have come around, like, they miss, she comes around and literally destroys the entire fleet.
Yep.
before they can.
He comes after
reload
them from behind, from the side, like, from any number of things.
That feels like a very huge gaping plot hole. Like,
it's
there's just
not good.
There's just no reason that didn't happen, especially how pissed off she was. Like, they didn't give us any explanation as to why she doesn't just decimate the Iron Fleet right there. And it's a little bit of a mystery as to how Missandei gets captured. Like, you know, Grey Worm sends her to the skiff, which assumingly is some sort of escape boat.
Right, it's basically a little boat. Yeah.
So everyone else washes up on shore, and somehow they capture her. So I feel like there are a couple of kind of moments there which just don't make any real sense. And the biggest one to me is, like, there is no reason that they couldn't have just taken out the entire Iron Fleet right there, which would have changed the entire dynamic of the next sequence. That said, the next sequence plays really nicely and sets up the tension for the next bit of the battle.
Yes.
Wonderfully.
Oh, no, it's good. It's where they got to was valid.
Yes.
How they got there.
And that is problematic. That moment, honestly, for me, is the biggest issue that I've had with the show to this point, which is, like, I just can't think of a rational explanation for why that didn't happen.
I know, I agree. Because, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, with a huge, caveat or, acceptance of just riding the ride, we shall see what happens now. Clearly,
the
next episode is Danny versus Cersei,
and then it'll end up being
Danny versus John. I think that seems to be where we're headed. Now, the other thing which I do think is very interesting and very in keeping with the show, which I do kind of like, is the now question of allegiance for
Jaime.
Well, it's actually kind of across the board. You've got this sort of Jaime, Tyrion, and
that was Varys. The Tyrion and Varys scene was very nice.
And it really is it's like Tyrion has always been a character that is loyal but also plays the right cards. Right. You know,
and Varys has always been
smart.
Very interesting about his loyalty to the kingdom as
versus an individual.
To the person, which was always great.
Yes.
And it does harken back to, I think, season 2 with Varys and Tyrion working together very closely.
Yes.
And forming that friendship.
Yep. So it's interesting. I think, you know,
Jamie is interesting because I think there is a possibility that he is coming south in order to
kill Cersei.
Kill Cersei.
I think that possibility exists.
So I think it is possible that the whole prediction about her being killed by her brother, we assume it's Tyrion.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Jamie. Given that he's thinking, I am the one person who can get close.
Yes.
He has killed a king. He is the Kingslayer. So being a Queenslayer is not outside of it. If he feels he can save
the
city.
There is a pretty fantastic character arc there, if that's how it plays out. And I think there's a real case to be made for that being Cersei's end.
Yes.
Which, you know, leaves a lot of unresolved things to also then resolve as well, which is potentially really nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think I won't be surprised if that happens, and I think that could be a really good end to Jaime's story and actually to Cersei's story as well, while still leaving a lot of, you know, great drama for the final resolution of the show.
Yes.
I also think it's really interesting. I mean, I think, you know, we touched on this in what we recorded earlier. I think that, you know, in a way that I actually applaud, I think that, you know, we're seeing this final season play out, despite the giant hole of the dragon not killing the fleet. I think we're seeing this final season play out in some pretty unexpected ways. I mean, I really did go into this thinking, like, you know, basically the fight against the White Walkers is the ultimate, you know, resolution of the series, or at least certainly further into it as we would go. You know, I think we all kind of have the expectation of Dany ending up on the Iron Throne, although that seems more and more and more in question.
Yes.
And yet I don't, you know, at this moment, it's weird because I can't actually project feeling really satisfied if she does, if John does. So it's like, you know,
I think that's what's great.
I think that actually pays off the promise of the show in a way that, you know, having it feel victorious for anyone really doesn't. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think it's a unique case in that way, where this is a show about, you know, in many ways about heroes and heroics, but I think that having a sort of clear-cut victor is actually not what this show is about. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, would actually strangely be a different kind of letdown in the context of all of this story. So it's a, I think it's a, it is nuanced and layered in that way, it kind of messes with the tropes that we have around a lot of these things in a very good way. In a
good way.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, yeah. I think it's great.
Exactly. So to be continued, but some thoughts on this week's Game of Thrones.
That's interesting.
And hope you listen to our thoughts on Infinity War, which is now up on our feed as well. Endgame. That one. We'll be back.
Bye.
Bye.
That's funny.
So I'm recording again just to capture this because there's one other thought that I hadn't had until just now.
Okay.
So regarding Game of Thrones. Yes. So, you know, I think that there is absolutely a world where they are basically creating this Danny versus John final ending, but they're also pointing everything in that direction. So that seems to now be the obvious thing. There is another world where we're purely in The Empire Strikes Back right now. Like, we're kind of bringing Danny to a point where we've built her up for 7 seasons to be the person who should be on the throne, freeing slaves,
yes,
you know, doing all the right
things,
generally correct, being the great, you know, the great person to come in. Yes. Now we've brought her to a point where we doubt her. Now she's at her lowest point, so we're kind of okay with the fact that she doesn't end up on the throne. So are we actually now setting her up to have to make a hard choice, and then potentially she does make the right choice, and then we're happy to see her kind of fulfill
this destiny?
So yes. I hadn't actually thought of that until this moment, but that could be the other game that's being played here, is to kind of point everything the direction of we're okay with her not, and then she actually does get to win at the end.
Right.
So, just a thought.
Interesting.
Yes. It's a good. Okay, so we're going to chat real quickly about the final episode of Game of Thrones. This is a pre-watch moment. Yep. So, Evan Matthews, Adam Martin,
and special guest.
Oh, Kira Martin.
Adam's daughter. So we haven't seen the final episode yet. We haven't really talked about the last episode.
I'm slightly, Evan and I are both slightly annoyed by the whole final season.
I'm just here for the ride. Kira's less annoyed.
So let's talk about, real quickly, any predictions before we watch this final episode? Given, despite the annoyance, what do we think is going to happen going in?
All right, so I had 3 theories.
Yes.
And I can't decide between.
Yes.
One is Daenerys goes full on crazy, kills Jon, kills everybody, becomes the Mad Queen.
Yes.
Boom.
And then
stays on the throne for whatever's going to happen.
Being crazy.
Boom, right?
Yeah.
Second is obviously Jon realizes she's gone crazy, kills her, he takes down the throne. I think there's no doubt that there's going to be conflict between
the two of them, yeah.
The third one, which I also kind of like, is. She kills Jon.
Yeah.
Arya kills her, and Sansa takes over.
I think it feels like, to me, that feels like the direction it's headed in. It feels like Sansa has become the most kind of, interestingly, both, she kind of has the best of both worlds. She's got the level-headedness of the Starks with the willingness to kind of play the game that she's learned from Littlefinger and then from Tyrion as well.
And she has the Northwind.
And that's been Jon's downfall all along, is the not willingness to play the game.
He is not Machiavellian in the way that he needs to be to run this thing.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas you're right, a Sansa-Tyrion combo could be very
cool.
I do hope Tyrion survives.
I know, I love Tyrion.
Do we think Jaime is dead? There's some.
An entire castle fell out.
That's one of many intensely annoying things.
So here's the one thing I'm going to say. There's a lot to dig into, and we should do a whole kind of post thing about this. But the one thing I'm going to say, like, my annoyance stems from the pace of this season, and I really feel like a lot of the things that they've done could have worked in a more satisfying way for me had it not felt rushed. And I do think, you know, we were saying earlier, it's like HBO apparently wanted to offer them, wanted this to happen over 2 more seasons as opposed to 1 more season. And I do feel like the pace of the show has not
been the pace of this final season. Like, it's been much more deliberate mm-hmm. to this point.
Interesting.
And so I do feel like you could have a lot of the same beats that we've seen, but they would feel more earned had they been played over a longer yeah. period of time.
I think so.
And even Daenerys...
Aside from some of the stupidity.
And one of those things being, you know, we talked about in our previous little recap or reaction to stuff that, you know, Dany should have just burned all the boats to begin with, especially now that yes. she did, and we saw how easy that was. And now we're sure was. She could.
Like, what the hell? You know? Yeah,
so
exactly.
The turn to the Mad Queen is, to me, one of the most annoying parts of the show so far, in that...
It's been so fast.
It's been so fast, and I think it's... You could have gotten to that point, but we've only seen glimmers of that in her only over the course of these five episodes, not... Yeah. Over the course of seven seasons.
No. And she's been so deliberate.
She's been so deliberate. Until now. And the thing that, you know, it's like here, and I also, the part that actually bugs me the most is I feel like she would want that personal moment with Cersei.
Yes.
More than burning the city to the ground.
Yes.
So like the Cersei's right there, but I'm going to spend my time having now one killing innocent people that I've sworn to protect. As opposed to going right there and having my dragon bite her in half.
Right. Yep.
Feels very strange to me.
It does.
And not in character. Like, you know, like that is a psychotic break. If we're not going into like yes. actual psychosis, then it's that does not feel earned to me at all.
It's true. I also do have an issue. So the witch prediction that's yes, so much yes. been made of at the very, you know, a long time ago.
Yes.
About who would kill Cersei.
Yes.
I don't believe Jaime leading her crypts and dropping
the house
castle on her.
Yes.
It's the same.
Does
as
it quite fulfill that?
Being responsible. Like, I don't
buy they have made a point about like prophecies not being
accurate.
Literate or accurate, because the other major prophecy is about the Lord of Light, and he was going to pull the, you know, the Vargal Margalis or whatever the chosen promised prince thing.
Now, I did hear something about that possibly. Oh, yeah.
Yes, so there's been some theories about that, but that's the other one that's kind of really hanging out there.
It's true.
Like, whether or not that gets fully resolved is a question mark. So,
yes.
All right, so those are some of the things. I don't really have a strong prediction. I think Sansa seems to make the most sense mm-hmm. at this point. You know, I feel like you can't feel satisfied if Dany's on the throne just because of what happened, unfortunately. Yes. You kind of can't feel satisfied if Jon is on the throne because he has kind of...
Well, you know, it depends how he gets there.
It's true.
If he gets there by accepting what needs to be done and killing Dany,
mm-hmm.
if he does it,
yes.
then I think there's a way of satisfying that.
That
because
could,
he
right,
will
that
actually have
work.
Grown.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a funny way, and this is just occurring to me now, of all the characters, he has actually remained the most constant.
Yes.
And the most consistent.
Yes.
So he has actually gone through the least growth
yes.
and change
yes.
of any character on the
That's
show.
True. That's true. Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. No, he's basically been kind of the hero good guy from the beginning. Yeah. But to his fault, being the kind of, you know, the I must do
exactly.
the right thing no matter
yes.
what the consequence, which was the downfall of Ned Stark as well.
Yes.
You know, had Ned played it slightly differently, he wouldn't have ended up being decapitated.
Being a
spy. One thing that I read, which I actually really liked, was here's the frustrating thing to me about this season is that there have been so many wonderful moments.
Mm.
With this sort of frustrating broad stroke.
Yes.
And so even in this last episode where it really bugged me the way they played Dany's turn, like all the stuff with Arya I thought was
fantastic.
You know, the Hound and the mountain
yes.
face off was
so
wonderful.
Oh, I
called
that. Wonderful. Totally called that.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
Called
oh,
that.
We knew that was coming.
Fire.
But I thought,
dying
oh,
and fire.
Dying and fire.
I totally called it
100%.
Fire.
But like that felt totally satisfying. But that's
yes.
a great example of like they built it and they built it and they built it and then they paid it off.
Yes.
And I thought Arya's turn of choosing life was a great turn.
Yes.
And doing it in King's Landing, whereas really that's what set her on the path to choose death. Kind of her
mm-hmm.
whole path was built on...
She killed her first
watching
in King's Landing.
In King's Landing. And that's watching her dad die in the crowd and then choosing to try to save people ostensibly from that crowd. Like, I thought all that played really nicely
mm-hmm.
and gives her a kind of now, like, what is her final kind of character arc going
to
be? Like, she's got a choice now where she didn't before. so many wonderful moments, you know, and so
to me, it's very much can we stick the landing? Is the is less than the sum of the parts.
Yes,
I think that is part of the frustration.
Exactly. So many wonderful bits and some bigger challenges. Can we stick the landing? Let's find out. Okay, here we go. Recording. Okay, it is.
There we go. Yeah. Okay, now okay.
Recording. Spoilers. Final episode of Game of Thrones.
All right. I'm so much happier with that than I thought I was
going
to be.
Me too. So way more satisfied than I thought I was going to be. Took some turns I didn't expect, like, by far.
Like Bran being on the throne?
Yeah. That was great. Did not see that coming at all. So I generally feel actually remarkably satisfied with the show in general. I still feel like they rushed things that could have been played out better, just in a general note for the season.
Yes.
But definitely not upset by the end. I did keep thinking Lord of the Rings with the, like, 50 different endings.
Yes. 100%. Even the composition of some of the shots was very Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Did not see Jon killing...
Not within the first 5 minutes. Yeah. I was like, oh, we're here already? Like,
but that was kind of great.
Yeah.
When they started kissing, I had an idea that
I thought it might happen right there too. Yeah. Like
I figured that conversation was meant to be a test. Yes.
I also wonder, like, you know, it's I think it's too far into production for them to be reacting to fan comments, but, you know, there was such a backlash from Jon not giving a ghost a pet or something on his way out of Winterfell.
Okay. So that's true.
To get a little
loved Drogon incinerating the Anthro.
Yes.
Like, I love the idea of the dragons exhibiting that intelligence of, like, let's destroy this thing.
I think this is where I will give them a lot of credit, is that, and probably J.R. Tolkien. George R.R. Martin. A lot of R's in here. A lot of R's in our fantasy creators.
Yes.
But I'll give him, I mean, this, you know, clearly the outline for how this is going to end has come from him, knowing where this is all going to end. It'll be very interesting to see where the books, if they ever come out, deviate from the show. But as I understand it, like, he did share his kind of, like, this is how it's meant to end, you know, with the showrunner, with the creators. It would be weird if it was totally different. And Danny lived happily ever after.
Danny and John went skipping off into the sunsets.
Tyrion was their son.
I do like Tyrion being back as Hound.
Yes. I thought that was actually really nicely played, and, like, the back to the kind of bickering of politics. Well,
yes.
The one thing which I both liked as not seeing any more of, and also wish that I would have seen a little more of, is I thought, you know, it's very clearly a wink of Bran saying, like, maybe I can find Drogon, and, like, him being able to warg.
Oh, interesting.
And I did also half expect Drogon to be there for Jon. So, like,
I was wondering if Drogon was gone. Yes.
Like, and then he didn't burn him alive. I thought, oh, like, he's going to turn to the other Targaryen.
But I thought it was actually, that was part of Drogon being actually intelligent.
Yes. No, I thought it was a nice note for him to stay loyal to Dany, and to recognize, like, it's like this was possibly even recognize this for the best.
Yes.
But
and still mourn.
Still have the love of his mother, essentially.
Totally.
And I think actually destroying the Iron Throne, you know, was a very nice note on the entire series. And this is where I will now, in contradiction to my previous points, give our creators and showrunners a lot of credit, in that I think, whether it came from George R. R. Martin or not, what this show has done exceptionally well from the beginning is subvert expectations.
Yes.
And they so well set us up for the conflicts that were unquestionably coming, that then didn't not go come in that way at all, in a very satisfying way.
Extremely.
So hats off.
Good job,
all involved.
I thought that actually ended as well as it could.
Yeah. Yeah. So I
still, like Jon going north the wall. Yes. I thought that was wonderful.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's actually it ends in a strangely hopeful, kind of an unknown hopeful way with Jon going north and with Arya going west.
Yep.
And kind of now expanding, kind of like, let's find out what the rest of the world is.
Yes.
So not being confined to, this wheel, essentially. So, right. Very much in a very real way, Dany got what she said she wanted without her being.
Oh, interesting. Right.
At the core of it.
Right. Well, being at the core of it, but not being
in charge of it.
In charge of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think, in a way, like she actually, like that actually pays off her character arc in a way, in an unexpected way.
That's interesting. So
it's like, she actually got what that character was about without having to be in charge of it.
Well, being, obviously not being.
Yeah.
By removing herself.
Yes, by removing herself. By being removed, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so good job, guys. It gives it more resonance in a way that I will probably go back and rewatch a little bit, knowing what.
And I like now the Unsullied heading off to Tarth because Missandei was from Tarth, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so had she said something about them being peaceful and therefore vulnerable? Was that, as
yeah,
I
there,
recall?
There is something about that. And also right. I think, them kind of going back home now that the masters have been removed, essentially. Yes. So being able to create a home in their home, essentially. Right. It's kind of a nice note. And I thought even the moment with Grey Worm and Jon of kind of like, we don't have to like each other, but we're off to the next thing was sort of a nice little moment. And Sansa, of course, being now Queen of the North was a nice note. Like, we kind of knew
Queen
that was
of the,
coming,
like,
but
well, especially
but I
didn't
like
the end of season 6 end with Jon being the King of the North?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So that was very nice.
So good notes. Good notes all around. I definitely I really am impressed with how they wrapped it up in these 6 episodes. Again, I will stick to my guns that it would have benefited from an extra season to build,
I'm not sure
to,
the other
build
season,
to this point.
You might have needed another
episode. Maybe 2 episodes could have done it at the hour and a half length that these episodes have been. Yes.
But it's and this wrapped up very nicely. It does not.
It does not excuse
of the frankly
pitiful
choices that were made during some of the previous episodes.
Yes.
And the logical
issues,
all that stuff.
Yes,
and
that being said,
I succeeded in wrapping up the season.
It really
in the
did
show beautifully.
And I think my test for season finales, personally, series finales, I should say, personally, is just a satisfaction question, and I do feel satisfied, and that I got to
in
give
a way
a lot
I
of
was surprised
for.
About. Yeah,
yeah
no.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Now, that being said, in my own personal opinion, Breaking Bad remains the greatest, most satisfying full series of all time. You guys were close.
And of course sets them up for hello what really Sadie, what's happening?
And it does make me actually want to see the follow-on prequel series is even more. I also found it funny that instead of going straight into the behind the episode thing, which they have previously done, they went into the please God watch the shows that are coming up.
Well, it was interesting. They went straight to Dark Materials.
Yes.
Obviously,
yes.
I mean, in worldview,
yes.
Tonally,
probably the closest,
could be very similar to this.
Yeah.
They should do Six of Crows.
Done a good job.
Yes.
Netflix doing that.
Oh
which
God,
one's
are.
That? What are they?
Six of Crows. If anybody knows the casting director for Six of Crows, let us know.
Yeah, but I do think that's funny. Both of those shows look great. Like Dark. Hopefully they real. I'm so hopeful.
Dark
they,
Materials.
They get Dark
I'm
Materials right.
Very hopeful.
The movie
I
was
think
so
a BBC HBO co-production.
Yeah.
Probably gets
really
it
good.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as they don't.
I'm not convinced by McAvoy as. As Asriel, Lord Asriel, yes.
It also just as a funny side note, the woman who plays the queen, what's her name?
Lena Headey.
No, in Dark Materials,
the
mother,
the mother.
Yes,
Mrs. Coulter.
Yes, yes. I can't think of her name now. The actress, but just I was that she was on a show on Showtime called. God, I can't now remember. But anyway, she was on a show on Showtime and she died unexpectedly. And this big spoiler alert in the next to the last season, like, it's kind of a thing of like, why did she die unexpectedly? And did she get written off the show? I'm like, I think this is why. Like, because she wouldn't comment on like what happened, and like the like Showtime wouldn't comment on what happened. I'm like, she jumped to HBO.
Now, what's going to be interesting. Sorry, this is getting off Game of Thrones. Yeah. What will be interesting is with Dark Materials.
Yes.
Is, I don't know how many episodes they've got planned.
Yes.
Are they planning basically a 3-season show?
I hope so.
Of kind of 8 to 10 episodes a season, well, where they're doing each book.
Gonna do each book, right. Yeah.
That would be interesting.
You would
that
hope
would be
so,
great,
yeah.
Great, because the movie made such a pig's ear of it.
Yes.
But it's also such a dense book. It's hard to do as a single movie.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It needed to be a show. I mean, there's so many of these things. Like, you know, Game of Thrones is a good example where, you know, a decade ago it would have only been in contention as a movie, and it would have been a terrible movie.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like so many of these things need to be these kind of longer episodic.
Yeah.
You know,
it'd take time to develop them.
Yeah.
No, because it looks like they're keeping very close, just imagery wise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Very close to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yarn and Bears would be great.
I have to read
I know.
All right, so you guys have back to our Game of Thrones showrunners and creators. All right, good job. Good job. Salute. That's and well looking forward to Star Wars.
Yes.
And I'm sure Game of Thrones will be rewatched at some point. So I feel very, very, very satisfied.
Very satisfied.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Onward.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, except I can't hear. Pause. There we go. Bye. Hey, it's Eben again. I'm supposed to be working on some other stuff, but I keep thinking about why the ending of Game of Thrones felt satisfying in general, but the turns taken to get there didn't. And I think it all comes down to Adam and my biggest complaint about this season, which was the other dragon, I'm blanking on his name now, but the one that gets killed over the sea out of nowhere, he gets killed. Dany's unhappy, but doesn't do anything about it. And then Melisandre gets captured. And I think that we could have had the emotional impact of killing the innocents in King's Landing without the kind of bizarre, unneeded, you know, like, there was no reason for her to do it. She'd already won. So I think that's partly why that felt, you know, out of place, having not set that stage earlier. I think we could have actually done everything basically as it was if she had in fact turned and fried all of the ships with Drogon right after the other dragon was shot out of the sky. So if in that moment she snaps, she is inconsolable, she can't deal with the fact that this other child was just taken from her, all that would be believable, and she would blame Cersei and, you know, King's Landing even more. Then she could really have a true Mad Queen moment and just destroy all the boats, potentially even seeing, you know, like an extra amount of fury where, you know, she's just clearly out of control and everyone around her kind of sees that as well. You could even still have, you know, I'm blanking on names now, but you could have the dude that was, you know, the bad ruler of the Iron Islands, you know, jump into the sea and go and confront Jaime. You could have Melisandre still be captured and kidnapped and then beheaded. So I think there's a way to put that together where that could have been the turning point. And then you see her kind of rein herself back in a little bit, maybe leave us on the edge of like, whoa, like, okay, we're kind of still rooting for her, but holy shit, we just saw what she did. And that was kind of the scary moment. Like, their Mad Queen is in there. What's going to happen? And then I think even if she had torched the city, we would have had some precedent for that. Like, that one moment, that one act could have made a lot of difference in that turn. So some final thoughts there. Again, now the day after, still feeling generally satisfied. But I think that one element, the turn there, you know, which so much of the season hinged on, I think that some sort of precursor
And you know, that being my pitch for what it could have been would have made a lot of difference. So anyway, onward.